Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for all that you've taught us today in this Torah portion. And that I pray that you open the eyes, open our minds and our hearts that we understand what you have for us to learn today. In Yeshua's name, amen. In this Torah portion, Moses continues teaching the children of Israel the things necessary for them to stay in the land that Yahweh has given them. When Yahweh gives us something, it does not mean that we are to do nothing with it. And also, with this Torah portion, it's a reflection of what we covered last week, and that last week's Torah portion had to deal with our relationship with Yahweh Himself, and how we treat and how we go and worship Him, and how what He requires of us. In this Torah portion, it's our relationship with others. So it's goes back to what Yeshua says, is that to love God with all of our hearts, all of our souls, and all of our being, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. As with anything, everything must be set in order so that it is ready to move, just ready to move in. So Moses is instructing them what is required of them to move into the land, what they're to do, and how they can stay in the land longer in their days. There are requirements to rid the property of pests and vermin and that may have taken over the property. We do this instinctively when we take possession of a new house, a piece of property. We walk the land. We get the feel of where the valleys and the trees and all the things that are in the property. And we mark it out. This is my property. And Yahweh is doing the same thing with them. He's going to tell them who's going to get what. It's going to be divided amongst all 12 tribes. We are to remain vigilant so that we that they do not return. That's all the pests and the vermin and the Amalekites and all the Canaanites and all the Jebusites and all those people, what they're to do with them when they take possession. In the kingdom, we are to do the same. In spiritual warfare, we need to make sure that the enemy does not has the ability to return and retake that what was his. We belong to the Most High God, who has compassion and mercy on whom he has compassion and mercy too. As I was going through this Torah portion, I saw an interesting thing about how the modern King James Version translated the concept of raising up seed for his dead brother. The modern King James Version translated it as a levirate marriage. In Deuteronomy 25:7, it says, "If a man does not want to take his brother's wife, then his brother's wife goes up to the gate, and the elders say, say to them, 'My husband's brother refuses to raise up a name for in Israel to his brother. He will not perform my levirate.'" This is how they translated this word, yabam. And that's out of the Hebrew 29:92 in Strong's. It says yabam. Let me get down here. A primitive root of a doubtful meaning used only as a demonstrative from Hebrews 29:93 to marry a deceased brother's widow. Perform the duty of a husband's brother to marry them. This stirred up the idea that Israel was not the only nation that performed such practices then and now. What I found out was not only did Israel practice this service, that they were not the only ones who performed this act. As I looked up in Wikipedia, it stated that many countries or many nations also observed the same act. This predates the flood. This goes back to the time of after Adam and Eve and after all the sons were born, that this was done even back then. This idea was carried over after the flood. It was only formalized here in Deuteronomy. It wasn't mentioned anywhere else. So it's like, where did this term levirate come from? So in doing the research, I found in encyclopedia.com, it is that this was taken from the Latin. It wasn't just originated from the term levy, as is the sons of Israel. This was a term that was coined many years before this. So this was practice was not uncommon in the earth. Levirate came from the Latin word levare, which meaning is a husband's brother. In this way, in the modern King James, place the word levirate instead of stating that the brother of the deceased man. In the modern King James, it makes it sound like the practice came from the Levites. Although the custom predates the scripture in this text, and in fact, it goes back to Tamar and Judah. This actually had been going on prior to the flood. The reason was the brother's name would not be forgotten. Also, there was indication that the widow was taken care of through this act. So in this, that there would be seed raised up for the widow to take care of her in case something happened with the husband, the brothers of her deceased husband. In ancient cultures, this was often done, that the son or the daughters would take care of the elderly parents. There was no such thing as assisted living facilities or the state stepping in and taking over in cases like this to take care of the widows and the orphans. No, God had something else in mind that would take care of everything perfectly and with equity, that we could be assured that not only was the widow taken care of, but the seed of her husband was also being raised up so that the name of that husband would not be forgotten in Israel. The property would remain with her and the inheritance would remain within the family. And it wouldn't be just taken away from her and she would be stripped of it and she left her penniless. Is that they were taking care of her during this whole time of her widowhood. The basic theme here is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. I know that this looks like painting this with a broad brush. This is yet we show that we love Yahweh with all of our heart and with all of our being. When we show that we love our neighbor as ourselves. This also shows that we love Yahweh. In other words, we are listening to him. We're obeying what he says. And we're taking care of those who are in need, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow and the weak ones in our society. It is when a nation takes care of these people who are less fortunate than anybody else is that when God's mercy is shown on the earth. When we have no compassion for these people in our lives that we see every day, they may be hiding it from us, but we seek, Yahweh can show us that this person is a true widow. She's beyond childbearing at this point, and she needs some assistance and somebody to take care of her and help her out. In John 14:20, at that day, you shall know that I am my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. In John 10:38, but if I do them, though you believe me not, that's talking about miracles, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. So when we show compassion and mercy on those who are less fortunate, we are showing his love and his mercy through us to the world. This is our testimony to them. When we go and do acts of kindness to somebody, there's often jealousy, but ultimately it's a testimony against them because they were here before us. And in any community, when you show love and compassion to your neighbors and those around you, you're showing them what they need to be doing and they're not doing. When Hannah and I moved here, we went halfway around the world and found that people were compassionate and caring for the disabled, more so than it was in the United States. So in this whole thing, we should be looking at for our brothers and our sisters who are less fortunate than us. And I know I said this before, but it's very important that we get this point. If we are appointed to be in the kingdom and treat our fellow servants with contempt and lie and cheat and steal, with what will our master do to us when he returns? For he said, in such a time as you think not, then the Son of Man will return. So if we're not doing what the Father appoints us to do, to take care of that by not plowing our whole fields down to the ground and taking it all, put it in the barns and storehouses, but leaving the corners. I was reminded of the fact that when I was driving through Oregon and some of the pear growers, there was many pear trees in Oregon. They planted in such a way that would round off the corners of their pear trees so that nobody could get to the corners of them. I said, why would they do that? So they were already setting this up to where even somebody just happens by, they couldn't pick the pears off their trees. So this is an actual thing. It's not a kindness. Now it's a disservice to the community around them. in Matthew 24:43-51. But know this, that if the steward of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not allowed his house to be dug through. Therefore, you also be ready, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man comes. Who then is faithful and is wise, whom is his Lord has made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom Yahweh shall find him doing so when he comes. Truly I say to you that he shall make him ruler of all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays in coming, and shall begin to strike his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkard, and the Lord of that servant shall come in a day that when he does not look for him, in an hour which he does not know, that he shall cut him apart and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So if we're not doing what God through Yeshua said, to take care of all those that are less fortunate than us, to make sure that our fellow servants has plenty to eat and drink and to be warm and to take care of what he says to take care of. In other words, we're not going to take the lower and upper millstones so that it cuts off his way of life. And when I was an electrician, if somebody took my tools, I couldn't perform my tasks. I couldn't make repairs on something. So if somebody took my livelihood, I couldn't help somebody else that may be in need that they have something repaired. So in the same way, we have to look and to see, is it something we pledge something, and yet in that was in our, out of our need for the loan. But the person who made the loan to us takes our cloak, takes our heat away, takes our food, our substance away, charges of mass interest rates because we're less fortunate than he is. He takes from us. He steals from us. And he does the things that are evil and corrupt. What does that say about our society? We look around and we see in our day-to-day lives what man is doing against man. They take and make a loan for somebody who cannot possibly make a loan, and when he fails, oh, they gladly take his house away from him, forcing him on the street. So now he's even worse shape than he was before. Rather than trying to make some sort of arrangement where he can now rent that property and stay in a warm, safe environment. But they rather turn him out to the street. And that just says that the time of his coming is getting near even as we speak. The doors for the kingdom are wide open for those who want to come and seek him, for those who want to come and be in the kingdom. In this word that we read earlier about the sojourner that was translated by somebody else's translation, it said that it was not a sojourner, but a proselyte. And I looked up that word, and it actually does not mean proselyte. It means a stranger. It was somebody who was a sojourner, somebody who's working in a country that got permission to work there. When I got here in Jordan, I was an English teacher, and I had to get permission from the government to teach English. So I was a sojourner in Jordan. But if they took and said, okay, you're not to do this, you can't come and get money for what you do, it would kind of take the incentive of staying here away. So in this, so as we look at this Torah portion, what does it say to us? What is the condition of our heart? Are we circumcised in heart, or are we just hard-hearted? I was talking about this earlier this week. It was like, it shows the condition of our heart. If we are going to use unjust weights and measurements, if we're going to use things that are not what God says for us to use, with two different weights, two different measurements, instead of a yard, we charge for less than a yard as a full price of a yard. Instead of a foot, we charge for 2 feet. We rob, we steal all the time. But if we use what God says for us to use, perfect weights and measurements, that's also using proper interpretation of what the scripture says, giving true interpretation and doctrine, using the correct leaven instead of what the world calls for. And that's the teaching we had today.